No special music, I'll just tell you a joke. And it's probably not new, but that last song we sang just kind of reminded me of it. A fellow was standing before Peter at the pearly gate. You understand it doesn't work that way, but jokes always start like that. Standing before Peter at the pearly gate, and Peter told the fellow, if you can answer three questions, I'll let you into heaven. And the guy said, okay. He said, what 2 days of the week start with the letter T? And he said, well, that's easy, today and tomorrow. So Peter said, well, I'll give you that one. He said, how many seconds, this will be a little tougher, how many seconds are in a year? And he said, 12. He said, how did you come up with 12? January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd, April 2nd, May. He said, all right, I'll have to give you that one. And the third one was, what is God's name? And we've said this before. He said, Andy. And he said, well, where do you get it? Well, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own. That's the song we just sang in the garden. So apparently that fella got into heaven because he knew the answer to three tricky questions. Again, I hope you know better than that, but that's the joke. Acts chapter 1 this evening. I know that's not the first verse in our outline, but I want you to start with Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. We're going to be talking about James, the Lord's brother. And we might get to the outline tonight. The reason I say that is because there's some information I want us to focus on before we even get to that. We'll probably get through some of this anyways, but why don't you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. We're looking at the names of the disciples. Of course, here in Acts chapter 1, verse 13, there's only 11 of them because one of them, Judas Iscariot, has betrayed the Lord and gone out and hung himself. So when they get together in Acts chapter 1, one of them is missing, Judas Iscariot. 11 of them are still there. Now, what I want you to notice is how many times the name James shows up in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, just so we can make sure we understand the right James. James, Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James. There's the first James. I've underlined it. And John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew. James, I underline that one. That's two times James in the same verse. The son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. All right, so there's a lot of James in Acts chapter 1, verse number 13. So we understand that when we get into the New Testament, when we get into the Bible, when we talk about James, we have to qualify which James we're talking about. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13, the first James is, you know, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And we've studied James the Apostle already before. So the James we're looking at tonight is not James the Apostle. James and John were the two sons of thunder. They were two-thirds of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. That James dies in Acts chapter 12. All right, look at Acts chapter 12. Just so we understand, so we're getting the right James here tonight when we look at the James we're going to be looking at. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John. So that tells us which James it was he killed. All right, Acts 1:13 talks about James and John. Here is James, the brother of John. So James the apostle, one of the first 12, that James is killed in Acts chapter 12. All right, that still leaves another James in verse 13 of Acts chapter 1. James, the son of Alphaeus. James, the son of Alphaeus. All right, this James is only mentioned four times in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, each time as one of the 12 apostles. And we know nothing about him other than he was one of the apostles, James, the son of Alphaeus. So we've got two different James. James the apostle, James the son of Alphaeus, about who we know hardly anything, although we'll look at just a moment about something about him. But those are the two James. Now the third one in this verse says, Judas, the brother of James. So So one of the other apostles, and when John names this Judas, he says, Judas, not Iscariot. Wouldn't you hate to have had the name Judas? After Judas Iscariot is the one that just betrayed him? I mean, nobody names their kid Judas today because of the connotation to Judas Iscariot. But there were two of the disciples of the Lord named Judas. Actually, and we don't have time to go into this, two of the gospel writers, if you take this and go back to, I think it's Mark chapter 6, and you look at the list of the names there, they call him Thaddeus in those two accounts because they didn't want to call him Judas. So they called him by another name. They called him Thaddeus. But his name here is Judas, the brother of James. Now, he's not the brother of the first James and John, because they were the two sons of thunder. We would know if he was the third one. So that only leaves another James for him to be the brother of, and that's James, the son of Alphaeus. Remember, we've seen that Peter and Andrew were brothers. James and John were brothers. Jesus' group of disciples was a much tighter group than we think sometimes. He didn't meet just 12 random fishermen out there. He knew he was calling, and he called together a band of brothers, if we can use that terminology. Peter and Andrew, James and John. We know that Thomas is also called Didymus, which is a twin, and there's suggestions that one of the other disciples was a brother of Thomas. Well, now we've got James, the son of Alphaeus, and his brother, James. Now, here's what also makes this interesting. Look back at Mark chapter 2. The Bible is such an amazing book. And when you really sit down and start studying these things, that's what we've been talking about Sunday night, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. When you really get down and digging into it, it is a thrilling book to put the pieces of the puzzle together and to visualize some things in our mind. So we've got James, the son of Alphaeus. Then we've got Judas, which is the brother of James. So now we've got Andrew and Peter, we've got James and John, we've got James and Judas, two brothers. And look at Mark chapter 2 and verse number 14 is what I've got written down. Mark chapter 2, verse 14, and as he passed by, he saw Levi. This is Jesus calling his 12 apostles. And as he passed by, he saw Levi. Now, you know what Levi's other name is? Matthew. All right, Levi is Matthew. We won't go to time to look at that. But notice, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of who? Alphaeus. Well, wait a minute. Matthew is the son of Alphaeus. James is the son of Alphaeus. And if Judas is James' brother, then Judas is the son of Alphaeus. There's three brothers together in that little ring of the Lord's disciples. So we've got James, the brother of John. Then we've got James, the brother of Matthew, and Judas in the circle of the Lord's disciples. One thing that's interesting in Acts chapter 1, verse 13, it says, James, the son of Alphaeus and Simon Philotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Your King James Bible is the only one that says the brother of. All the other ones say the son of. The son of James. So that just messed up our little triangle right there if you go with any of the other Bible versions. So we'll stick with this one. And we'll say that Judas was the brother of James, not the Lord's disciples were about his age, so if Judas was the son of James, he's probably about 10 or 12 years old, and I don't think one of the disciples was quite that age. So we'll stick with our Bible and believe our Bible and not worry about what all the other Bibles say. But here's the key this evening. Two of the disciples were James that were alive and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to look at the third James. And this James is the Lord's brother. Look at Galatians chapter 1. We come to what's at the top of our outline this evening. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 19. And we'll be looking at these verse 18 and 19 here again in just a moment. But Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. The Apostle Paul is writing and telling us about his conversion in verse 13, 14, and 15, 16. Verse 17, neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. So after Paul's experience on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, after he was baptized by Ananias 3 days later, God took Paul to the desert of Arabia, and he said to them in verse 17, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus after 3 years. So after Paul got saved, God took him into the desert of Arabia for 3 years. Then he came back to Jerusalem, verse 18, to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So here now we have the third James in the New Testament. Two of the James were disciples of the Lord. This James, you say, well, why couldn't this James be one of those other James? And we'll see in just a moment that this James was not a believer during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, during the earthly days of his brother Jesus. Now, the reason I stop on that for just a moment is simply this, and this is God's timing. The Pope Mobile has hit the United States of America. If you were watching the news this morning when the Pope landed and all the media was out there and they're just making a big hoopla about the whole thing. You know what went through my mind while I was watching that? I was on my stationary bike this morning. I was pedaling along and the news was on and I was watching them show the plane landing at what was formerly called Andrews Air Force Base. The plane landed and they were watching the Pope and I couldn't stand watching that. And I was flipping to the other channel and they're showing the plane landing and the Pope getting... I flipped to the other one, they're showing the plane landing and the Pope... But I thought as I was watching that the media I don't know what that guy's, these newscasters, I don't know their names, but they've been around a long time, and boy, they were just all full of, you know, isn't this exciting? The Pope is going to New York City, and the Pope's going to speak at the United Nations, and they were all excited, and I thought, is this the same news media that chews up Christians and spits them out? And yet they're all in awe and wonder and full of excitement about the Pope showing up. Something doesn't make sense there. They're talking about him being the head of 2 million Christians in America or whatever the number was. And I thought, something is not right. The same media that would chew up and spit out Kim Davis, the law clerk down in Kentucky, is praising the Pope, who is the head of the church that takes the same stand on same-sex marriage that Kim Davis does, at least last time I checked, takes the same stance against abortion that we as Christians take. And yet they're praising him and giving him all this glory, and I'm thinking, what in the world's going on here? Mark this down in the back of your mind. And I saw this on Facebook today. The Antichrist hates Christians and Jews. The Muslims hate Christians and Jews. Therefore, the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. No, he's not. He's going to be a Roman Catholic. All right, the end time religion is Roman Catholicism. And the only explanation for a news media that hates and despises you in the same things that you believe, that the Pope says he believes, abortion, things like that, they chew us up and spit us out but receive him, is because they're going to be deceived that they'll believe a lie. So mark it down. This is just a sign of the end times. That city of the Antichrist in the book of Revelation is still the city that sits on seven hills. And you go to any AAA office and you go in there and say, I'd like a brochure about the city on seven hills, and they're going to give you a brochure about visiting Rome because they know what that city is. So be careful in all that stuff. And boy, the news media just will twist you up and get you so confused. But here we are on the very day that Roman Catholicism is such a big deal in America, at least the arrival of the Pope, that even fellows that know better. Presidential candidate Ted Cruz today posted on his account. And Ted Cruz is a born-again Christian, no doubt about it. But he praised the Pope for being here and having the eyes of Christ to see the needs of the world and stuff. And I'm thinking, good night. Doesn't anybody have any sense anymore? Some people that should have some sense don't have it. On the day that the world is running after this, can we go back to the Bible for just a moment? And can we look at what the Bible has to say about James, the Lord's brother? Now, how could James be the Lord's brother if, as according to the teaching of the Catholic Church, Mary was a perpetual virgin? I'm speaking to an adult crowd tonight, all right? So you understand that can't happen. All right? The Lord was supernaturally conceived. He was born of a virgin. James was not. So how could Jesus have a brother named James if the doctrine of the perpetual virginity of Mary is a true doctrine which the Roman Catholic hinges their belief on? That's why they pray to Mary, because she was pure throughout her whole life. She never knew a man, is the terminology. Then how could James be the Lord? Well, Paul must have been mistaken when he wrote it. Look back at Matthew chapter 13, if you would. Matthew chapter 13. There's nothing like the Bible to mess up people's theology. There's nothing like the Bible to mess up the world's emphasis on incorrect things. Matthew chapter 13. Look, if you would, down at verse number 55. Here, when they are noticing, go back up to verse 53. Matthew 13 and verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. When he was come into his own country, that's Galilee, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" When he went back after beginning his ministry to his home place, Nazareth, Galilee, the people that knew him from his birth, knew him from his infancy, said, "How does he do this? Where is he getting the ability to do these mighty, wonderful works?" Now, I don't know, but wouldn't you think they might have had a clue? They grew up with Jesus in the neighborhood. Wouldn't there have been something would have tipped them off that he's a little different than everybody else? Without sin, never broke his mom or dad's heart by doing something contrary. You know, there had to be some sign, but they didn't. They said, "Where does he get this ability?" Notice, it gets even worse than that. Verse 55. Here's what they said: "Is not this the carpenter's son?" All right, that's Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter. "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary?" All right, I don't think anybody here has a problem realizing what we're looking at. Joseph, is not his mother's called Mary, and his brethren, James, that's the one we're talking about, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Now again, here's Judas, which you read about in Acts 1:13, but that's not the same. Judas was a common name back then. But he says in verse 56, "And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" Paul called James the Lord's brother. Matthew writes and tells us in Matthew chapter 13, Mark tells us the same thing in his gospel. The account of those that were bewildered by what Jesus did said, "Wait, we know his dad, we know his mom, we know his brothers, we know his sisters." So that means that Mary had more children than just Jesus. You know, one way we know that, you can keep your place there, but look back at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. You know the context. Look at verse 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. "And knew her not." This is Joseph in verse 24, "being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, Mary, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." See that phrase, firstborn son? Firstborn means there are others that follow. If it's not, then he's an only son, not a firstborn son. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, by calling Jesus the firstborn son, indicates there are others. Matthew 13, 55 tells us James, Joseph, Judas names the other brothers. Now that's a tricky doctrine for the Roman Catholic Church. So how are they going to get around that? Well, first of all, Matthew 1, 25, they take out the word firstborn. They say, and brought forth her son and called his name Jesus. See, now if you have a doctrine and the Bible disagrees with it, you either have to change your doctrine or you've got to change the Bible. So in the Roman Catholic manuscripts for their Bible, they take out the word firstborn and says, and he brought forth a son. Now you know why that's interesting. Here we are at Bible Baptist Church, you know this. The NIV, the ASV, the RSV, Good News for Modern Man, the CEV, all those Bibles also take out the word firstborn from Matthew 1:25. They're Roman Catholic Bibles. They're watering down the doctrine of Jesus having brothers and sisters according to the flesh. And the new Bibles just go along with it. Now they think, well, there's no big deal taking out that word firstborn. Yes, there is. You say, well, it still says it in Matthew 13. Well, here's what they do then. Matthew 13, is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? You know what they say? The words brothers and sisters there in the Greek. Now you always got to watch that. If you don't want to change your doctrine, you change the Bible. And the best way to change the Bible is tell a bunch of people, well, the Greek word is. Now, anytime you hear somebody that, you can call them on that. You can question them because you can get out a Strong's Concordance and look up a Greek word just as easy as they can. And the minute you do that, 90% of the time, they're going to back down because they're just trying to pull a bluff. And I know this because I've had it happen. I've had people say things, and I've looked it up and said, wait a minute, this Greek word is the same as Greek. And when they do, they go silent. So they say here, well, that's because there was no Greek word for cousin. And what that really meant, are not his cousins here with us, James and Joseph and Judas? And are not his cousins, the sister, the female, are not there? And they say there's no Greek word for the word cousins, so that's why it says brothers and sisters. Now, there's a problem with that. And you know what the problem with that is? The Bible. Look at Luke chapter 2. No, Luke chapter 1, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, a maid named Elizabeth also is with child miraculously. Now, she's not a virgin, but she did conceive a child, Elizabeth. Do you know what Elizabeth was to Mary? Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. You know what Elizabeth was to Mary? Well, Luke chapter 1, verse number 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Now wait a minute. I thought there was no word for cousin. Well, here's one right here. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Well, it didn't say sister, because it wasn't her sister, it was her cousin. So if it's her cousin, it says cousin. If it's sister, it'll say sister. Look down and farther in the chapter, verse number 58. Verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy. Not her sisters, her cousins. So there is a word for cousins. And if Matthew 13:55 or Mark or Luke was supposed to say cousins, you know what it would have said? Cousins. So it's a smokescreen when somebody says, well, there was no Greek word. Yes, there is. But here's the problem. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 36, you know what all the new Bibles do? And behold, thy relative Elizabeth. Not cousin, thy relative Elizabeth. And down in verse number 58, and her neighbors and her relatives. If you have a doctrine and the Bible disagrees with it, you either change your doctrine or you change the Bible. And they've changed the Bible. And the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, in this particular instance, even the New King James Version has changed cousin to relative. They left firstborn in Matthew 1:25, but they changed cousin here. And so you've got to watch what you're looking at. You've got to watch what you're reading. Jane, you're shaking your head. You have cousin? You do. Okay, I've got a New King James in my office back there, and it says relative. It probably different years. They changed it one way. Now, I don't know if yours is newer, mine is newer, yours is older, theirs is older. But that's one thing they've done, and I don't know which way it goes with the one she's got there. All right? But they're making those changes. They're sly changes. It's deceitful. Why would one Bible version do both? Why would they switch it back from one to the other? Did they change their mind on what the Greek word meant? Did they change what it was? All right? There is a word for cousins, and it's used in the Bible. And so saying, well, that's just talking about cousins, that doesn't work. Look back then, if you would, at Psalm chapter 69. Psalm chapter 69. Look at verse number 8. Psalm 69 and verse 8. I am become a stranger to my brethren and an alien to my mother's children. All right, the speaker there in Psalm 69. I am become a stranger to my brethren and an alien to my mother's children. All right, whoever is speaking here, his mother had children. You know, if one straw falls, then you try the next straw. All right? You say, well, he was the firstborn. That means there's others. You say, well, he had brothers. No, that means cousins. No, there is a word for cousins if you want to use that. So the next thing is, well, when Joseph married Mary, he already had children from a previous marriage. And again, that's something given. When it says James is the Lord's brother, the Catholic Church will answer by saying, it's a possibility, if it's not cousin, if it's not the other thing, it's a possibility that Joseph was married before he married Mary, and his wife died, but he had children, so they became brothers, half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Psalm 69:9 says, I am become a stranger to my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Now, here's again. Well, that's David speaking. All right, that's true. David wrote it, didn't he? But who's David speaking of? Look at the next verse, verse 8. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Who's that verse talking about? Notice, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Look at John chapter 2. We'll get to the outline in just a moment. Look at John chapter 2. Jesus goes in and cleanses the temple. Runs out the money changers. In verse 16 of John 2, he says, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Who's that verse referring to? Jesus Christ. He's in there cleansing the temple, running everything. He's jealous for the house of his Father, and he cleans it all out. And the disciples remember the verse from Psalm 69. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That verse was prophesied about Jesus Christ. So was verse number 8. I am become a stranger to my brethren and an alien to my mother's children. Go back to Matthew chapter 27. So you spend a long time on this. Well, it's good for us to get a thorough understanding and knowledge of the Bible, to cross-reference the Bible with the Bible. Because if you know Roman Catholicism, and this is not an attack on them, this is just pointing out that something they teach is not right according to the Bible. That's not attacking anybody, that's simply pointing out error according to the Bible. And when they teach that Mary married Joseph but was a perpetual virgin, that's not right according to the Bible. Doesn't matter who's teaching it. You know, Mormons, Jehovah Witness, Sun, Young, Moon. It doesn't matter who's teaching it. If it's wrong, we've got the right to look at it in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 27, Look down at verse number 56. Here's the three women that were at the cross. Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. The mother of James and Joseph. You go back to Matthew 13, 55, three sons were named. Here only two of them, same name, James and Joseph. Mary was the mother of James and Joseph. Not the stepmother, mother by second marriage. She was the mother of James and Joseph. And so we find we're talking now, it should be clear, we're talking about James, the Lord's brother. His mother and Jesus' mother were the same mother. His father was Joseph. Jesus' father was God. But they have the same mother. So understanding that, let's then now look at James, the Lord's brother. And again, we will not try to get all the way through this. We spent quite a bit of time on that. I hope it's beneficial, because it's important to separate which James is which and know which ones we're talking about and understand the right biblical doctrine when it comes to Mary. Mary has been slighted, folks. Let's just put it that way. You've got a lot of Protestants down through the years that minimize Mary because the Catholics maximize Mary. They pray to her. They ask her for forgiveness. They call her the Mother of God. And so Protestants or Baptists, which are technically not Protestant, because we never protested, we didn't come out of the Catholic Church. But those on this side have always, we kind of downplay Mary and belittle Mary, and that's not right either. She was chosen to be the mother of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. She's not the mother of God, but she was the mother of our Savior, so we need to give her the right position she gets. So just because one side goes too far one direction, we don't need to go too far the other direction. We need to give her the honor and respect that's due her. All right, James was her other son. Let's look at James and the Lord. We're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. James and the Lord. So we understand that James, along with Joseph and Simon and Judas, grew up in the same household with Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Now, he was obviously the elder brother, Jesus was, because he was the firstborn. Then Joseph and Mary got married and had these other sons and some daughters. But James grew up in close proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that's interesting, you can write the reference down, Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. Mark chapter 15 and verse 40 is again the mother standing at the cross. And it says there were also, we looked at this in Matthew 27, Mark 15 and verse 40 is the same. There are also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. So in Mark chapter 15, verse 40, it's the same as Matthew 27, 56. Mary's there with James and Joseph, but here James is called James the Less. Now I'm a junior. I'm Stephen George Leafley, Jr. For a long time, I'm looking around quick. Okay, nobody here named George. For a long time, I didn't like my middle name. When I was a kid, I didn't want anybody to know my middle name. But even more than that, I didn't want anybody to know I was a junior. Because you know what happens. Indiana Jones knows what happens when you're a junior. That's what everybody calls you, junior. But how'd you like to be called the less? You know, I was junior, so when everybody called our house, and this is even worse, and my brother and my sister still call me this today sometimes, Stevie. Now, I hope that's hard to imagine your pastor being called Stevie. I hope that's hard, because I don't want you to think that way, and I don't want you to call me that either. But to differentiate between my dad and me, it was Steve and Stevie, so they knew which one they were talking about. And that really, you know, when you get a little bit older, my cousins now that, you know, I grew up with that are in their 60s, still refer to me as Stevie. It's enough to make you skip a family reunion. I mean, you don't want to, you know, I don't want my kids hearing them be calling me that. But how about James the Less? Now, it's believed, and there's nothing in the Bible, it's believed that James and John, that James was called James the Greater. And that this James is called James the Less because of comparison to the James who was the apostle of the Lord. Now, I wonder if that's true. If that's why he was called, I mean, he was called James the Less. It's true right there. What reason, we don't know. But how'd you like to go around with that chip on your shoulder? You're the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to give you some standing. That ought to put you somewhere. But instead, they're calling you James the Less. So as he's growing up with the Lord, it's not far-fetched to think there's a little bit of resentment going on here. There's a little bit of confusion. And that's our point number one. When we look at James the Lord, number one, what confused him? What confused James? He was not a believer in his brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. Now look, don't take it because I say it. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse number 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him. Now his brethren are Mark, Matthew 13:55. His brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All right, four brothers. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest. You know what they're telling Jesus? Don't hide here in Nazareth. Don't camp out here in Galilee. If you've got the ability to do these works, you know, turn the water to wine, I don't know if they were there, but they heard about it. It was in Cana of Galilee, their hometown. They were probably at the wedding. Mary was there. Probably a relative of theirs. They've seen these things. Now they're saying, hey, if you are the Son of God, go to Jerusalem. Do all these mighty things down there. They were urging him to get out of obscurity and get some attention. I mean, wouldn't you want your brother to be the Messiah? Wouldn't you want him to be the Christ? And so they're saying, if you really are, go do these works in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Notice verse 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Verse number 5 tells us why they said that. For neither did his brethren believe in him. James, as well as his other brothers, were too close to see it. Though they grew up around him, though they had to have known there was something extra special about him, they were too close and they didn't see it. And so now they're saying, hey, if you really are the Christ, go to Jerusalem, do these miracles in front of everybody. Prove yourself to the world if you are who you claim to be. They didn't believe it. So James is not to be confused with James the son of Alphaeus or James the brother of John, because those two were disciples of the Lord during his earthly ministry. James, his brother, along with his other brothers, did not believe all the way up to the crucifixion and the burial. You know why Jesus had to say to John, John, behold thy mother. Mary, behold thy son. Because James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas had nothing to do with Jesus. They weren't there when he's crucified. He's bringing shame on the family name. He was a disgrace to Joseph, who probably had died earlier and left Mary as a widow. And these brothers had nothing to do with Christ all the way up to his crucifixion and his burial and his resurrection. James was confused. The home of Joseph and Mary was a religious home. The home where James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, Jesus, and the sisters, the girls were raised, was a religious home. The Bible tells us, and I'm looking for my reference here, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, that every year they went to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. Joseph and Mary, every year went to Jerusalem from Bethlehem, or from Nazareth. went to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. They raised their kids in a religious home. James was raised in a religious home. He was raised in the religion of the synagogue and the Old Testament and the Pharisees. And yet there was confusion here because he looked at the law, he looked at the strictness, he looked at the obedience, and then he looked at his brother, who when he began his ministry is out on top of a mountain teaching people. They hear about him going down to this hairy guy named John the Baptist. Whether they were there or not, we don't know. But they hear about him going to this loudmouth preacher out in the wilderness, yelling and screaming and telling Herod he's not supposed to have his brother's wife. And Jesus goes to him and walks up to him to get baptized. Well, James is thinking, maybe James is thinking, why does he need to get baptized? I mean, I know there's something different about him, but he's a good kid. He's a good man. Why does he need to get baptized? Then he goes up to John the Baptist, and the heavens part, and a voice comes out of heaven saying, "Thou art this is my beloved son, hear ye him?" And James is just like, what in the world's going on? And his brothers, there's confusion. Because Jesus wasn't fulfilling the law the way he thought they would. Now you understand, Jesus fulfilled the law, kept the law, taught the law. But it wasn't his emphasis. So they were confused. Small letter A, and we'll give you this and have to close. What James considered necessary. What James considered necessary, Jesus considered nonsense. James, history tells us, and again this is history, was as much a Pharisee as Saul of Tarsus was before his conversion. And there's going to be a lot of connection between James and Saul or Paul. And we'll get into that next week. But James was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He was known, his name by reputation was known with the man with camel's knees. Because he spent so much time on his knees praying. Now when I say he was a Pharisee, please don't misunderstand. When we hear that word, we think hypocrite. But as we saw when we studied Nicodemus, not all of them were hypocrites. Many of them were very sincere. That means it's time to finish. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We'll continue this next week. Again, I apologize. We didn't get through the outline very much, but I really wanted to get in that material about James being the Lord's brother, and there's no doubt or no question about that. Father, thank you for your word, for how clear it is. God, if we would just study your word and cross-reference your word,